Always Hole into Smallville is brought to you by listeners like you. Nathan McKenzie, Tim Miller, Jazzat Maja, Chris Fuchs, Thomas Navin, Joe Mikindo, Steve Rogers, Cavante Chillis, John Curcio, Atif Sheik, Molly Ficarella, Trayvon Brady, Mike Franz, John Lloyd, Justin Maitner, Nick Ryan Magdoza, Becca Zeifel, Eddie Bissell, Cameron Minard, Dylan D'Antonio, Tom Gerke, T. Hamill, Nicholas Casso, Jared Gibbs, Erica Flynn, Braden Arnold, Mariana Sachi, Alana Gibbs, Darren Kirsch, Catherine, Rachel Miller, Casey Cochran, and Kathleen Holland. Thank you so much to all these patrons. And you too can become a patron by going to patreon.com/alwaysmallville with one S. Hope to see you there.
Hey guys, this is Laura Vandervoort. I played Kara Kent / Supergirl on Smallville, and you are listening to Always Hold On to Smallville.
Welcome to Always Hole into Smallville. In this podcast, we talk about each and every episode of the Young Superman show that ran from 2001 to 2011 on the WB and the CW. I'm your host, Zach Moore.
And I'm Lance Laster.
And we are on the road. Is this the right exit?
Yeah.
We are literally on the road.
I do not recommend doing this, ladies and gentlemen, but
Lance is operating the microphone. I am driving the vehicle. We are driving back from Austin to Houston. From Wizard World, Austin, 2019.
This has been an incredible weekend, y'all. This was so much fun. And like when we saw that they were pretty much going to have most of these people here, we had to do it. Like, that's what we kept saying. We have to do it.
Right. I mean, we had gone to our first convention for these guys when Tom Welling went to his first convention in 2018 at Awesome Con. And that was April 2018. So that was really only just over a year and a half ago.
Yeah, not too long ago.
But he's been to many conventions since, and now it's become this, you know, the convention circuit has really become like a real big Smallville reunion, and no bigger than this weekend because of the just the sheer amount of the talent that has been here. There were six actors from Smallville. We had, obviously, Tom Welling. We have Michael Rosenbaum, Kristen Crick, Erica Durance, Laura Vandervoort, and John Glover.
Just amazing and just incredible. And again, like when I saw that all of them were going to be there, I was like, we have to do this. And I was like, if you're not going to do it, then I'm just doing it myself.
Yeah, so Lance and I did pretty much every Smallville thing you could do within reason at this. We had obviously already met Tom Welling and Michael Rosenbaum.
Twice, actually.
Yeah, that's true, because there was Fandemic Tour last fall in Houston. And we went because it was going to be, well, at the time, it was going to be Tom Welling, Michael Rosenbaum, John Schneider, and James Marsters. Brainiac.
Yeah, Professor Fine.
And then Brainiac dropped out. I think he had another gig, and that's understandable, being working actors. But being in Houston, we're like, well, we got to go. It's like down the street. So literally down the street. So, yeah, we went to Fandemic Tour, and that was cool, and there was a panel there. Did we ever talk about that on the podcast?
I think briefly. I don't think we did something like this.
Well, no, and we didn't do something like this for WonderCon either. WonderCon?
AwesomeCon.
AwesomeCon. Awesome Wonder UltraCon. Because as fate would have it, you know, Lance and I were scheduled to record the next episode, Relic, Season 3, Episode 6, for those keeping score at home. And we're like,
that's right.
And we're like, oh, well, we'll just talk about this for like an hour and then talk about the episode. So you can go back and listen to that one. And did we record another episode around the time we did, you know, maybe Bound? Remember we did that one?
But I don't know.
I don't think we ever talked about Fandemic Tour, Houston 2018. Yeah. But, yeah, that was cool. Dean Cain was also there.
That's true.
Which was cool.
Yeah, that was fun.
And, you know, we got a picture with him and Tom Welling. Like I did. And then both of us got a picture with
Schneider, Rosenbaum, and Welling.
Right. So anyway, I'm sure I posted those pictures on the social media.
I'm pretty sure you did.
Yeah, we did. I don't know why we didn't make it. Maybe it's because we didn't go anywhere.
Like, we just, like...
Yeah, we just literally, we went up the street.
Yeah, and it was, like, a one day, like, half a day. Like, we're, like, walked around a little bit, got our Smallville stuff, and went about our business, right?
Yeah. And so in his absence, it was like, well, let's just get the rest of the Smallville people here. And this cast of Smallville became the headlining act for Wizard World Austin.
The six of them were here, but Tom Welling and Mike Rosenbaum, they've been doing this, you know, for a while now. So they have a couple things they do special, one of which is a Smallville cocktail party for $200.
Yes. yes, we paid it. Well, yes, we went.
See, we talked about it, and we're like, are we going to do it? So that's one thing they offer. And then for $100, there's Smallville Nights. So they do the Smallville cocktail party Friday night, because the convention was Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We drove up Friday, late afternoon Friday. So the Smallville cocktail party is Friday night, Smallville Nights is Saturday night, and then all the normal convention stuff is over the course of the 3 days. They have this Smallville cocktail party, and we're like, we weren't going to do it. We're like, we got to do it. Because it's like, we got to do it. Like, I don't know if they're going to be back around anytime soon or... You know, it's just such a unique experience that I think we definitely regret not doing it. So we did it, and I don't regret it. But I mean, yes, it is expensive. But I mean, we went all out with this because it's like the Smallville reunion convention. So you get there, and it's Welling and Rosenbaum, and it's about, I'd say, what, about 30 people?
It's between 25 and 35.
And we're all just kind of sitting this you know, quote unquote private area of this bar lounge or whatever. And yeah, it's just, so you get two drinks and you get a lot of finger food as well. They bring out, you know, sliders and
cheese bread and wings, onion rings. Zach caught an onion ring.
I did. Rosenbaum threw it at me. I caught it. I got an applause from everybody.
It was pretty impressive. Yeah.
So anyway, it's them. And I like how they kind of start. And Welling's like, well, first of all, like, why are you people here? And we're like, we'll see you. You know, he's like, okay, you know. And him and Rosenbaum talk about, like, because obviously Rosenbaum, you know, even as a fan himself, he would do something like this, you know. And he collects stuff, and, you know, Welling would never, right? He's like, oh, Rosenbaum, like, he has nothing. I gave him, like, a original Batman painting last week, and he gave it away.
Yeah, like, you know, these two just riffing is absolutely hilarious to watch. Like, just all their banter and, like, their back and forth. Like, they really are friends in real life. So, like, you see that, like, that friendship. It's very genuine, and it's also very hilarious.
Yeah, Welling could say, well, I gave it to someone who'd appreciate it, which is true. Like, I respect him for that. It's like, look, if someone gave me, like, a Doctor Who tapestry, I'd be like, all right, I'm going to give this to so-and-so, you know? So, anyway, so that was fun. But I like how they kind of set the tone at the top, like where they're each coming from. This Welling says, like, yeah, it's like, I feel like, you know, I want to let you guys feel like you got your money's worth, and I want to, like, connect with everybody, but, you know, I don't want people to walk away feeling like, you know, oh man, but, you know, I was just kind of here in this crowd. And because at first they were like, I'm going to take this half of the room, you take this half, and they're like, oh, we're all just going to talk. And so Welling was like, yeah, I want to have, like, some kind of return on it. And Rosenbaum was like, oh, no, man, it's all about having fun, bro. Like, you guys are having fun, right? Yeah! And so it's like they have totally different attitudes about it when they address that off the top. And I like that, too. I like it's pretty transparent, you know? And the reason is they're so chill is because there's, you know, there's not cameras, nobody's recording everything. You know, they can just.
Yeah, you couldn't be on your phone or anything.
Yeah, so. I thought it was great. And, you know, there wasn't really much Smallville talk, I think. We just kind of went around and. There was one girl who came from Japan.
Yeah, she kind of was the highlight and kind of stole the show at this event.
Yeah, so Rosenbaum kept calling her Konnichiwa because that's the only Japanese word he knows, and throughout the whole convention, like, she was at the panel, was like, "Where's Konnichiwa?" And he went out and hugged her. And Welling's like, she's terrified of you now. She doesn't know what you're saying.
And he's also joking. He's like, I hope she knows that you guys are engaged now. Like, that was the other joke.
And then it was funny when we were getting our photo op with all the cast. She was in line, and Rosamund came out and looked at the picture with her and hugged her and all that. So she must, I'm sure she enjoyed herself. It was quite an experience for him. But, you know, they just thought, we talked about all kinds of stuff. And I like what, you know, I believe it was Rosamund saying, like, yeah, like, you know, some people, they go to Europe or they go to football games. You know, and this is what it's like for y'all, for this, you know, and it's true. I mean, that's what these are.
100%. This is like, you know, when people ask, like, you know, what you do, right? It's like, this is what I do. I'm into this nerdy stuff, and I go to these conventions for nerdy stuff.
I used to not be as much like this, like going to these. Like, my frequency of convention going has skyrocketed since I've been involved in podcasting. You know, even with the Star Trek podcasting I do, I've been to Star Trek Las Vegas 3 out of the last 4 years. Now I've been to, like, the last 2 years I've been to 3, you know, conventions for Smallville personalities. And I don't know, like, working in the industry on and off as I have, like, it's like, okay, well, I'll meet some cool people when it comes up, but, like, going out of my way to do this stuff, you know, I don't know, like, I never made it a priority. But now, I mean, like, I feel a responsibility now that I'm a podcast host, right? It was great to see a lot of listeners out there, like Forrest, he's the first guy.
Yeah, shout out to you, Forrest.
He was at the, Smallville Cocktail Hour, and so I printed out these business cards. I decided Friday morning before I left town that I was gonna, like, you know what, I'm gonna be walking around, there's going to be a lot of Smallville people there. You know, let me just print out some business cards, like real simple, you know, but just to kind of like give people awareness of the podcast. And so I did that. I ordered them from Staples, and then I'm like, I'm smart. I'm going to get them at the Austin Staples. That way we can leave, you know, we need to leave in Houston, pick them up that night, and I'll have them with me. So so we do that. There's bad traffic between Houston and Austin on a Friday night, right? So it was getting real close to us not being able to get them Friday night. And literally we pulled up like 1 minute after they closed. And I was like, oh, well, I kind of reserved myself to the fact that we're not going to get them tonight. So whatever. But I thought, oh, for sure they'll be ready tomorrow morning.
He thought wrong.
Yes. We get to, but it was kind of on the way to Austin anyway. Like, it was on our route. So it wasn't out of the way. But then I'm like, all right, cool. Before we go to the convention on Saturday, you know, get up and let's go to Staples. And we get up and go to Staples. And I'm like, oh, I'm here for... And it's like, oh, okay, those were supposed to be ready last night. Okay, let me look. Oh, okay, well, those aren't done yet. We'll get started right now, and then we'll be ready in about an hour. I was like, okay, I'll come back in an hour. And I guess I should have asked for, like, a discount or something, but, you know, I'm not that kind of guy. I'm just kind of a pushover when it comes to that. So I just accepted them not doing their job. And I went to In-N-Out Burger, which is good.
It was very good.
And then we came back and got the cards. And then I had them with me. And sometimes I feel weird, like, passing out cards. But, like, if I heard somebody talking about Smallville, I kind of, like, I don't know. Might be you out there if I gave you a card and now you're listening. Like, hey, you guys like Smallville? You like podcasts? And almost every single person assumed, like, I was talking about Michael Rosenbaum. So, oh, yeah, Michael. No, I have a Smallville podcast, right? So that was funny. And so I handed out all those cards. Obviously, if you're listening to this right now, it was successful if you're a new listener. And it was cool to see a lot of the other listeners. Like, there were actually quite a few listeners. One guy from London who lives in Dubai right now.
Yeah, which was really cool. It was like, man, it's like, so we have somebody come to this convention from Japan and from London/Dubai. Like, this is crazy. And I thought, like, you know, the times that I travel for conventions, it was kind of like, you know, it's kind of like, oh, man, like, you're actually going to spend money to do this. But, like, no, they're spending way more. So that's commitment. And I appreciate that. That's really cool.
And then random other people like, oh, yeah, you're Zach from the podcast. Oh, hey. You know, so it was pretty cool to meet up with you guys. And I mean, that makes, I mean, not that it makes it all worthwhile, but no, it's an extra element to all this. And if no one's listening, then what's the point, right? I mean, I'd still do it. But building this little community we have as podcasters is a lot of fun. So, yes, if you recognize me, hear me, see me, please come up to me, say hello. You know, some people took pictures, which is, like, the most flattering thing. Oh, man, can I get a selfie? I'm like, of course. Like, you know, it's so it's great. So, I love that, guys. I really appreciate it, and it means a lot to me for y'all to do that. So, awesome to see y'all. And that's another reason to keep coming out to these conventions, you know? Yeah, if we keep doing these, we need to, like organize some kind of get-together or something, right?
That's true. We need to have, like, an always hold on to Smallville, like, party or, like, happy hour or something.
Yes, a BYOB always hold on to Smallville party. Let's be clear. So I ain't got that Michael Rosenbaum, Tom Welling dough right now, all right? So, but yeah, the cocktail hour, you know, if it were like a little longer, that would be my only critique. Because, I mean, just an hour, you know, for that, especially if there's so many people. Now, and I think somebody asked them, like, hey, why don't you do these in, like, Los Angeles? They're like, well, it's too close to home. You know, like, they want to feel like they're going somewhere and they're like, where it's not some major city, because then who knows how many people are going to show up. They want to keep it, you know, small to an extent. But yeah, no, it was cool. I think somebody like they fixed Tom Welling's drink and they passed it to me and they say, give this to Tom. And he's like, did you put something in this? And I said, we'll find out in a few minutes. But and it was fun. You know, it was funny when we showed up, what Welling said to you, right?
Oh, yeah, he comes up to me, he's like, hey, he's like, were you in the Superman costume earlier? And apparently there was another brother walking around in a Superman costume who we did meet, like, on Saturday. And then Rosenbaum was just like, no, that was the other black guy there, Tom. And so that was pretty funny. That's how, like, the night started.
Yeah. So, and then, so, like, there people would show up at certain times and move around and we give up chairs and stuff. And eventually I got out to, like, get a drink and other people showed up and I just let them take my seat because then I'm like, oh, I could just stand here next to them for like the second half of the thing, and I'm waiting for all these pictures to come up. I know Wizard World posted some pictures that one of their employees was taking, like on this phone, and you can kind of see how the night started. We're like, Welling was on one side of the room, Rosenbaum was on the other, and and then Rosenbaum went up to sit at the front with Welling, and then eventually I got up to like get a drink, and Rosenbaum was like, "What is boy? You done? You leaving?" I was like, "I'm just getting a drink, man." Anyway, it was fun. Like, there was a little bit of Smallville talk. Like Welling told the story. Well, they both told the story of, like, of the car accident scene in the pilot where Rosenbaum's talking about how he's, like, freaking out because he's, like, chained or not chained, but, like, strapped down into a car that's underwater, you know, and how that was, like, he was freaking out. And Welling was like, yeah, it was easy. I just swam down there and got you, you know. So it was a good mix of a little bit of Smallville and just a little bit of just them slice of life because that's what you go to these things for. And I think, and I really am proud of like all the fans that kind of understand what it's for. Nobody's like, you know, asking really weird, obscure things or like, and they make it very clear, like, hey, there's no autographs, no pictures here. We're just, you know, experiencing the time. And everybody did respect that pretty well. So, but there was the one guy that showed up at, what, 9?
Yeah, about 9.
Because he thought because apparently his ticket said 9:15. Mm-hmm. And then Welling was like, all right, you go talk to them. They'll set you up. I think they were going to, like, give him a refund or something. And I was like, well, you're not going to let him stay? the guy did come back, and then Welling gave him some chicken wings?
Yeah, he gave him some chicken wings.
And I think they got some pictures of that just because they felt they felt bad. And we have a story about that a little later about Smallville Nights. But, yeah, just a couple of things off the top of my head. The Smallville cocktail party is they talked about autographs. And how Rosenbaum is really good at forging Welling's signature. And they're like, yeah, Welling's like, yeah, it's like people send us stuff and like they think we're roommates or something. Like, will you both sign this?
Yeah, it's pretty hilarious. Like, they're, again, like their friendship and how, like, you know, Rosenbaum does a really good Tom Welling signature. It's pretty good.
Yeah. So what they did, he's like, hey, Tom, sign this. You go over here. I'm going over here. You sign your name. Show him how it looks. I'm going to go over here. And he signed this piece of paper. And then they held them both up, and they look almost identical. So it's just these squiggly, you know, angles of zigzags. And it was pretty funny. But, yeah, no, it was great. And I really enjoyed it. And if you're a huge Smallville fan, yeah, it's pricey. But I do recommend it. Because think about it. Like, it's two celebrities, right? So the cost is split between the two of them, right? And then, you know, two alcoholic beverages, bunch of food, and then renting a space for a while, at least reserving a space for a while. Yeah, you know, I think it's a little pricey. And like I said, if they throw in like an extra 30 minutes or something, then I really wouldn't have anything, any other critiques of it, really.
I think that's fair. I think an extra, like just a little bit more time, not 2 hours, because 2 hours is too much. But an hour and a half, I think, is the perfect amount of time, because that way you can kind of get in and get out. It's kind of like a vacation, right? Like the ideal vacation is 2 weeks because you need the time to get into it, settle in, and then get yourself ready to go.
Like, that's insane. 2 weeks is way too long for a vacation. That's all your vacation, you know?
Well, I mean, I'm a teacher, so like, I mean, this is what I'm used to.
You're used to 3 months or something.
Yeah, about.
So that was Friday night. That was great. And then, you know, we walked around Austin and stuff because, you know, we've both been to Austin many times, and I really like Austin as a city. So it was fun to walk around and check out the state capitol, stuff like that. Saturday, we get up and go get the business cards, and of course, they're not there. So they went to In-N-Out Burger and then went back and finally got. This is our travel journal now, apparently. But anyway, we get to the convention. Talk us through Saturday, Lance. What happened Saturday?
All right, so Saturday we get in, and the first person that we see actually is John Glover, but we weren't ready to go and get stuff yet. So we kind of basically just kind of get ready for the day. And so what ended up happening is the first thing that we go to, that we were like scheduled to actually go to, was their panels, which were in like the, like after lunch ish. But we ended up going to Carrie L's panel first of Princess Bride fame. And Saw, he was really great. We had not planned on going to his panel, but like, but since it was in the same room as the Smallville panel and right before it, we just kind of sat in and just, you know, and just took it all in. But he was great with everybody, answered a ton of questions, was not at the, like, at a table. He was on the floor with the people. And he was very great, charismatic. Talked about a bunch of his roles, including because like the dude's been in everything, it seems. You know, talked a lot about Princess Bride, of course. Talked a lot about Saw. Even talked about Glory. We had people ask him about Glory, which I was impressed with. But yeah, Cary Elwes, really cool.
Yeah, he was for the all the question and answer. He stood in front of the stage, and then he had somebody come up to him, and he kind of like put his arm around him if they felt comfortable with it or not. He's like, "What's your name? What's your question?" You know, and he was real thoughtful questions. Thoughtful questions and answers, and he has some great impressions too of like Andre the Giant and Mel Brooks.
Oh yeah, those are great.
So anyway, yeah, he was. I'm glad we saw most of that. So that was fun. And then the Smallville panel started. The first one, the Arch Rivals panel, which when I first read it on the list, I was like, archivals? Did they spell that wrong? I didn't know what they were saying there. But so obviously it was Tom Welling, Michael Rosenbaum, and John Glover. So they separated them all out, and I'm glad they did. And because I was like, oh, it'd be great to have like a big, huge panel with all of them.
Yeah, it worked out that they separated the cast for their two panels. We'll get onto that a little bit later, but like it's for other reasons. But like, yeah, because if it was just all of them in one thing and we only had, you know, what, 45 minutes of these panels, like Rosenbaum would have eaten up all the time for everybody.
Well, okay, so I'll say this. So there's a lot of audio problems at this Wizard World. Like their tech support needs help. They had all these mic problems, and Rosenbaum was like running around. Was like, "Whoa, mic person here!" Rah! And he's trying to get the audio to work on all these microphones. He goes, "Anybody working?" It was pretty funny. Because the audience Q&A mic wasn't working, so he ended up taking his own mic from the stage and put it on the stand with the cord sticking out, and he's just like roaming around. It was chaos, really. It was chaos, but it was hilarious. And so for the most part. Welling and Glover are on the stage, and Rosenbaum's like going all around in the crowd and kind of back and leaning up against things, or whatever, just be doing what he does, you know. But it was hilarious, and it was actually insightful too. A lot of it became about John Glover, which was fine.
Yeah, he's super popular, and everybody was so glad that he was here.
Yeah, because Welling, if it's something about 15 minutes in, he's like, "This is actually a panel about John Glover," because they're both talking about how much they learned from him as an actor, and you know, people are asking him questions about Gremlins, and you know, John Glover, I mean, he could not be more different than Lionel Luther. He is like the most just quiet and relaxed guy, you know, instead of like Lionel's like a focused, you know, like they're night and day. So he's even better actor than I thought, you know, because he is so not Lionel. So actually, something really interesting that came up is, and I'm glad someone asked this. About Transference. And actually, Tom, remember the name of the episode? I was shocked. I guess he did a little research. Because they said...
Well, he did say that, you know, the pilot and Transference were his favorite two episodes.
Well, I think people finally got tired of him saying, yeah, the pilot's my favorite. Like, I was always, oh, pilot's my favorite. It's so easy to say. I think someone has asked someone about the finale, and Rosenbaum's like, well, I wasn't in the finale. Like, yeah, she was. Like, oh, yeah. Yeah. Somebody asked him, yeah, in the episode where you and John switch bodies, and... He's like, oh, yeah, Transference. Yeah. So I was like, what? And then we shared a look. I was like, yeah, how did he know this title? I'm shocked. But he talked about how, you know, they each have their own mannerisms. And he remembers one specific time before there was a scene with Lionel was in his cell at jail. And Welling goes up to Glover, and he's like, Glover's behind the bars there in the cell. He's like, I how do you play you? And he's like, well, Clark, you know, the thing about Clark is he doesn't really do a lot. Yeah. You know, he's just kind of there. He reacts to things. But... You know, he's just kind of there, you know, and Glover's like, I can't do that. And he's like holding the bars. He's like, I always play interesting. So it was really funny because Glover even said, and it's funny, we're all on the same page on this. Glover's like, you know, Tom did a great job playing me, but I had the hardest time playing him because just to like be like the heroic guy that is just there and is the most uninteresting character there, as the hero often is in some ways. So that was just funny to hear them both talk about it. And this panel, by the way, this panel is now on YouTube, so I've shared that on the social media, so you guys can go check it out. Hopefully the second one will be as well. I assume it would be. I'm just trying to think of any other standouts. Of course, Rosamond went and found Konichiwa. And that was cool. And yeah, what did anything else that stood out about that particular the first panel?
No, you kind of have the highlights, especially like the John Glover recollection about like him trying to play Clark. Yeah, that was definitely the highlight.
Yeah, and you know, again, you just see the chemistry between all these guys, and it's so fun to see. And it was and you know, now I've been to, like we said, we're going down the list. We have three of these we've been to, and there's been just a little bit of overlap, but other than that, you know, it's not like you're hearing the same stories over and over and over, right? You hear enough different stuff, and probably because guys like Welling haven't really talked much until now, you know. I think that's why they have more stuff to say. Like, I think still one of my favorite stories is actually from that AwesomeCon panel, and Welling was talking about Apocalypse, which he directed. He didn't remember the name of the episode, but he's like, it was the one where you were the president? And he's like, oh, I remember this. He's like, Michael, you're going to have this big speech coming up. And it was at this presidential podium. And I was like, Michael, are you going to learn the lines? He's like, no, I'm good. I'll get it. He's like, okay. And then it's like, okay, action. And Michael looks up. He's like, where are the prompters? Because he thought there were going to be prompters. He's like, the presidents have prompters, okay? Anyway, it definitely, and I understand this kind of sense of humor. Michael, he always like turns it up for everybody. It's so good because they play off each other so well, and I enjoy the fact it's a tragedy that Clark and Lex's friendship dissolve, but it makes it okay because Tom and Michael's friendship is preserved. It was great and chaotic and hilarious, as you all can actually see now because it's on YouTube. And then we had our second panel.
Yeah, and the second panel was the ladies of Smallville, Erica Durance, Kristen Crook, and Laura Vandervoort. I got to tell you guys, this panel was excellent. It was so good. It was so insightful. And all of those ladies are just like on point. They fielded really good questions, answered with really good answers. It was incredibly enjoyable.
Yeah, I mean, I had never seen them in person, met them in person until this event. And I was blown away by how good the panel was. Like, they left, and I remember asking Lance, I'm like, I was so much better than the other one. I mean, I just didn't know what to expect. You know, I mean, Erica Durance, Kristen Crook, and Laura Vandervoort, they're all Canadian, first of all, which I didn't know. Like, I knew Kristen Crook was Canadian. And I think I knew Laura Vandervoort was Canadian, but I had no idea Erica Durance was Canadian. But you can totally tell when she's talking. I'm like, wow, she's a better actor. All these people are better actors than I thought. Because, like, I didn't hear one hint of Canadian in Lois's voice ever on Smallville, but she was like, oh, a boot, and, like, just the way she would say certain things, right?
Oh, yeah, she has, like, probably the thickest Canadian, like, accent, I guess, if you will, because it was coming out, like, when she was talking in that panel. It was pretty funny to listen to, because, like, you're not, like, accustomed to hearing her with that sound in her voice, and we did hear, so it's like, it's kind of funny how, like, kind of came out. One of the questions, actually, speaking about them being Canadian, was, like, if they could, like, sing the Canadian national anthem, and they all just kind of, like, were, like, awkward for a second, and then Laura, like, put it on her phone, and then, like, they played the first verse of it, and Erica was like, yeah, we're so Canadian, like, none of us stood up, none of us started singing it. It was pretty funny.
And so, yeah, I mean, I was very impressed by this one. Like, there was a lot of questions about, like, hey, how did you feel, you know, being, like, female role models on genre shows that have paved the way for all the stuff, like the Supergirls of today and whatnot. And they had some great, I mean, I give all credit to the fans in this. Like, whenever there's a fan Q&A, like, I'm always like, who's going to have the facepalm inducing question or, you know, making it weird? Like, one guy actually, so the moderator there, I forget his name, I think he did a really good job. Because he just kind of totally stayed out of the way of the first one. And in this one, he interjected and kind of helped direct the conversation. So I think he did a good job. Sometimes I'm like, you know, I'm like, who are these people they pick? I'm like, well, I should be doing one day. That's my goal, to moderate these panels, right? So right into Wizard World and let them know, Zach from Lights, Low, and Smallville. But I think he did a really good job because they bring up questions and he would kind of direct them and break it down, like keep the conversation going, you know? So there were some really long answers to a lot of great questions. Like, one was about social media age, you know, and how things have changed, and would you feel more pressure now being cast as these iconic characters? And Kristen Crook said a great thing, like, yeah, I mean, the controversy then was that I didn't have red hair, and we just ignored the fact I was half Asian. I mean, it was such, she's like, it just wasn't a thing, you know. Laura did say she feels like there would be more pressure on her today, you know, being like Supergirl. And I agree, because you can see how, you know, Melissa Benoist has all the pressure of, you know, just being the star of a show, you know, first on the call sheet, but just, you know, you're Supergirl now on TV. I mean, that, because, yeah. And, you know, back then, and they bring this up, like, Smallville, like, straddled the line between, you know, no social media and all social media. So, but they all kind of live in their own bubble, and I think that's really healthy. Because, like, if you're just reacting to stuff and listening to what everybody's saying about you, like, okay, obviously you need some kind of critique of all everything you do. But just to kind of live online and read reviews and stuff like that, like, and I believe it, too. A lot of people, I don't read reviews. No, I believe it with these ladies.
Yeah, I 100% do. And that's the other thing that I really appreciate about it with this panel. They were so honest. And, like, and they didn't kind of hold back when they were talking about the trials that you would go through as a woman in Hollywood. And they were incredibly honest and frank about some of the things that they had to deal with and overcome that are not as much of an issue now as they were when they were younger and in these roles. But it's good that they talked about it and they're happy with the progress that has been made.
Yeah, Erica was talking about, obviously, she's been on Supergirl now. And she was, yeah, obviously as well. But Erica specifically was talking about how back in the Smallville days, she's like, I remember running from zombies or aliens or it's raining and all these things. And I'm in these like 4-inch heels. And I'm like, well, that's just what you did, you know. And now, you know, today I look at Supergirl and Melissa has these just boots on, but like flat bottoms. She's like, I'm not running around in these heels. And she was like, I don't know if it's, and they all made this question, like, I don't know if it's because we're Canadian or because we're, you know, women in the industry, but we didn't like feel comfortable enough to like step up and say, hey, why don't we do it this way? And they're like, now we do, now we would. And so they're all talking about like regrets in their career and how, yeah, it's like the regrets, you know, they don't see them that way because they see them as learning experiences. Like, okay, I know now what I need to do, etc. And I think it was very interesting. Like Kristen Couric actually said, she actually named a project. She was like, yeah, I did this and I shouldn't have done it. Like it was a story about a Muslim woman is the main character. She's like, I took the role and I love the story. And I believe they should have made the film, but I don't think I should have done it. But obviously she's not Muslim, so she was thinking, okay, you know, let kind of cultural appropriation kind of stuff going on there as far as actors and actresses and representation, that kind of thing. So I thought those were interesting. Yeah. And again, all, and this is what I, and when I met all the ladies after this panel, as we did, I told them like, hey, your panel was great. It's very cerebral. You know, like these were well thought out answers, you know, they were very insightful. You know, it wasn't just like, they asked them like who their like inspirations were like in TV or film. And it's so funny, Kristen Couric. I love Kristen Couric so much now. It's so funny because I've always heard about this, you know, like Craig Byrne from Curtain's Side has obviously met her many times and talked to her. And he's like, look, she is nothing like Lana, you know. And you can even get that in like any, just the small peaks you get at her in social media and things like that. By the way, she's the one that had to convince Erica Durance to get on social media, which was so hilarious to me. That's how bad Erica was about getting on. Kristen had to be the one to convince her. That's what they said. When they asked the question about like, were there any kind of like strong female role models for y'all, kind of going into your careers? And Kristen was like, well, not on television. I'm thinking like, who was on Star Trek: The Next Generation? Yeah. I was like, yes, yes. They all kind of mentioned either people in plays, mm-hmm, or acting teachers or things like that. Yeah. And I think, and Laura Vandervoort mentioned like there was a, what was the guy's name?
I can't remember.
Yeah, it was like started with a G. But he was like, he was a male actor, but he was kind of my role model inspiration. And I actually just got to finally act with him, you know, and he's in his 80s now, you know. And anyways, it was just so cool to hear these very different perspectives. And again, I don't know if it's because they're Canadian or not, because they were so like just level headed. And it was such a nice, and not saying, I know I joked about it being so much better than the other panel, but and I hope this gets posted on social media, on YouTube. And if do, I'll definitely share it, obviously. Yeah. So y'all can see for yourself. But this was legitimately like one of the best panels I'd ever been in, just from the talent, from the questions. Like it was just they complimented each other well, because you had the hilarity, you know, and but also some good stories from the first panel. And then this one was just like it was very, and there was some funny stuff in here. Don't get me wrong, but it was just very, you know, focused and serious. And I guess I keep going back to the word cerebral, because it's so easy to answer these questions like, yeah, you know, but they actually like thought about them all. And I don't know. I really, really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah. And also like it kind of shows like the kind of the state of the career that they're currently in, because they all started off as, you know, like, you know, just as supporting characters and actors. But now each of them has been a lead character on whatever project they're working on. And then Beauty and the Beast, Burden of Truth, Saving Hope, Bitten, and then now also, in addition to the fact that they're like, you know, oftentimes are going to be number one on the call sheet, they are also producers on a lot of these things, you know, so like their perspective on things is so much more unique than you would realize, and it was just refreshing to hear.
Yeah, and then there was one last question I thought that was fun. Somebody asked, you know, they have these crossovers now on the CW. Like, if y'all had crossovers back in the day on Smallville, were there any shows that you wouldn't want to cross over with on the network? And they're all like, what was on the network then? I don't even know. And Kristen was like, Gilmore Girls!
Yeah. That got a lot.
She's like, that was on, and they all applied. And she's like, oh, Supernatural would have made sense. Then it would have been confusing because, you know, they didn't say it, but obviously Jensen Ackles was on, but you look familiar. So... anyway, I could not say enough great words about that panel. And then afterward, we went off and got our selfies and autographs from everybody, right?
And that was really cool, especially because, like, this for both of us, we were getting, you know, selfies/autographs from people that we haven't gotten yet, right? So, like, John Glover, Kristen Crook, Erica Durance, Laura Vandervoort. So it was just really cool. And then, like, you know, after that panel, like, I was like, I'm, you know, Zach is like, you know, like, as a new appreciation for Kristen Crook, and I have like a much more appreciation for Laura Vandervoort. She was like the most impressive to me out of all of the cast that we met here. Her presence and like the, you know, and the way she handles herself, the way she answers questions, the way she thinks, it was just really, really cool.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, it's tough for you to say, who would you like your favorite? I'm like, well, I mean, of this weekend, it would be Laura Vandervoort, you know? Yeah. I it's just like, and I love them all. Yes. No one, there was not one bad experience around, but some just elevate above the rest for whatever reasons, right? So anyway, so we went down the row there, Smallville Row, as I called it, like Radio Row or something. It was crazy because I had to take a picture. I'm like, this is crazy. This entire row here is Smallville cast members. It's so great to see. So I started with John Glover. Like, he's a hoot. And he is just so like, oh, hello. You know, Lance went in front of me, and he was like, we have these gold badges. It's like, oh, Goldie. Can I call you Goldie? Is that your name? He's like, no, my name's Lance. And then what did he sign on your picture? Like?
Well, he was just like, well, to me, you'll always be Goldie. And he put that on my picture. He's like, to Lance, but you will always be Goldie to me.
Yeah, so, and then for me, you know, I got the picture, and of course, I had the Superman shirt on. And like, oh, we got to do the shirt opening thing. And they take a lot of little selfies. Like, Sean McGover is like, it says you can take 5 to 10 selfies with them. It's so great. So, yeah, we did that. We kind of started out serious. And then he's just kind of joking. And we're like, kind of, you know, ripping open the shirt for the S. And we just started laughing. You guys have seen it on social media. And it's a great little sequence of how funny it got. And that was great. And then I asked him, like, oh, hey, can you do a bump for my podcast? I had tweeted him on Twitter, you know, he and or his assistant who runs his Twitter. Because you're like, what's a bump? I'll bump you. I was like, all right, thank you, John Glover. A never-ending factory of innuendos, this guy. That's the one continuing factor with this guy. So funny, though. So I'm like, oh, yeah, so you know, I have a podcast. I gave him a card. I was like, just so you know who this is, you know. And, you know, Michael's done one for me before. And so I was hoping to get one for him. He's like, oh, great, great. So, you know, you guys will hear it. Anyway, it was great. Oh, and mine... I thought it was just so, he always tries to add some silly personal touch in his signatures. It's a picture of Lionel Luther, and there's a, you know, a Smallville logo at the bottom of this picture. So he signs it, and then he draws an arrow down to Smallville. He's like, oh, because it's, you know, from Smallville. I'm like, yeah, I know, which show. Anyway, funny guy, great guy. You'll hear his ears bumping. And the next went to Laura Vandervoort's booth, and she was fantastic. And it was so funny. So we started just talking, and I was like, hey, I just went to your panel, it was great. She's like, oh yeah, you know, we were wondering about splitting it up, but then it, you know, something she said in the panel actually was like, yeah, there's no diarrhea jokes in this panel, because she's talking about Rosamond, always likes talking about that. But she's like, yeah, you know, being all together would be kind of overwhelming. Oh no, absolutely. And so we just started talking about whatever, and so, you know, she signed my picture. And I told her, I was like, hey, like, I don't know if it's like a spoiler or something or not, but, you know, if they didn't ask you to be in Crisis, I think that's a big shame. She's like, yeah, they didn't even ask me. I was like, that is horrible. Like, you totally deserve to be in there. She's like, oh, thank you, you know. So that was great. So I don't know if that's confirmation or like, oh, maybe they're just lying. No, I think she's legitimately not in Crisis, which is a shame. Such a shame, because there's a show called Supergirl, right? How do we only have one Super? Why do we have three Supermen? But one Supergirl in Crisis. But anyway, we got caught up in talking so much, we almost forgot to take my selfie. I'm like, oh, I got a selfie, too. you know? So then we got a selfie into the whole shirt thing, and it was great. She was just delightful. I mean, she has just intangibility to her, which is just A+. And I even put in my tweet, like, I'm really looking forward to season 7 now to see her on the show. Like, as you guys know, I've always ranked season 7 so low. We'll see if this changes my opinion. But she was great. And then I asked her, I'm like, hey, I'm like, I got John Glover's. All right, I'm going to do one more. I'm feeling flying high right now. Flying high now. And I was like, this is a random request, and it's totally cool if you say no. She's like, oh, I'll probably say yes. I'm like, all right, will it? So I bring out my microphone. I'm like, hey, I do a podcast. I pull out my business cards coming to play here because I seem more official, even though they're not the most professional looking because I put them together like over a course of a morning. I was like, oh, yeah, so I'm just hoping to get a bump in from you, like I introduced the podcast. Got one from Michael. I got one from John. She's like, oh, of course. Yeah. It's like, oh, great, great. So I pull out my microphone, and she does, and she is spot on. It's funny. I'll say this. You guys might have noticed what I was going for with the bump in is exactly what Laura Vandiver did for me. She was like, hi, I'm Laura Vandervoort, and you'll hear it at the beginning of this podcast because it's so good. She's like, hi, I'm Laura Vandervoort. I play Kara Kent / Supergirl on Smallville, and you're listening to Always Hold On to Smallville. I was like, thank you. That was perfect. That was perfect. Because, like, with Michael, like, I love Michael. That's the first one I got. So I was very intimidated, very intimidated. But I was like, hey, man, you know, I tweeted you. He's like, oh, yeah, let's do it, brother. He's like, hey, this is Mike Rosenbaum, Lex Luthor, and Always Hold On to Smallville. I'm like, great, thank you, you know. Yeah. But he didn't say, like, you're listening or anything like that. And then John Glover, such a John Glover thing. He's like, hi there, I'm John Glover. I played Lionel Luthor on Smallville, and I'm always going to hold on to Smallville, and I hope you do, too. And I'm like, all right. I love how it's unique, you know, that's great. But I'm like, I wanted just the whole, I'm so-and-so, I played so-and-so, you're listening to this podcast. And finally, I got it from Laura Vandervoort. So I don't care if she doesn't show up till season 7. You're going to hear that all the time when these shows start. So I think, if nothing, maybe that's what's put her over the top for me, that A+. But she is A+, and I'm really looking forward to season 7 now. And then, let's see. Then we just kind of walked around and stuff on the floor and bought some random things and stuff. And, oh, you know what? So we got this VIP packaged for the weekend. So we got exclusive seating and first right in lines for autographs and stuff. But with it became a piece of artwork that was exclusive to Wizard World. And you got to go take it to the three celebrities featured on that artwork and get signatures. All right? And the three celebrities are
Teddy Sears, who was Zoom / Jay Garrick on Flash Season 2. And then Kelly Hu, who has been in a bunch of stuff. Lady Deathstrike. She's Karai in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cartoon. China White on Arrow, amongst other things. And Solomon Grundy from Gotham.
You don't know his name.
Nope.
You don't know his name either. So I'm like, all right. Well, you know, we had some time before anything else that was on the schedule. So I'm like, oh, well, let's get these signatures. And I'm like, is Teddy Sears? Yeah, I like the Flash Season 2. I like Teddy Sears. So Teddy Sears is such a cool dude. He's in a hoodie. I'm like, would you just come back running? Obsessed with still Zoom running, right? But he's like, oh, hey, man, yeah, I'm Teddy, you know? And it's just, he's just talking, and we're like, hey, man, like, it is real funny because we're talking about the Flash and how, like, yeah, the first two seasons, like, the people in front of us said something about, like, the first two seasons. Like, yeah, that's what I've heard, you know? Like, everybody feels that way. Like, the first two seasons were good. And I still think the first season's the best, but season 2 was still a good season. And then he was like, yeah, you know, I was kind of hesitant to about the story, like how people would react to it, because, you know, I knew that that's exactly what they did in season 1. I was like, yes, this guy gets it. Because obviously he's like, yeah, they did the thing with Wells, he was a bad guy. I'm like, well, I'm Jay Garrick, and now I'm a bad guy. And I'm like, yeah, well, they keep doing that. They haven't changed. So anyway, just a cool, just down-to-earth guy. And I enjoyed our conversations with him, and then Kelly Hu was cool. Obviously, now I didn't have any idea that she was in Friday the 13th movie. There was a picture on her table. Yeah. I was like, "You were in a Friday the 13th movie?" She's like, "Oh, Part 8." I was like, "I'll check it out next Halloween." And then you talked to her a little bit about Ninja Turtles, right?
Yes, I did, because she was Karai. And what I think is, you know, like, I've seen all of the Ninja Turtles cartoons. I haven't watched this new one yet because the animation bothers me, but I'll get around to it eventually. But the most recent one prior to this one, the one that's started in 2012, I think is probably the best. And I think it's the best characterization of the Turtles. It's the funniest characterization of the Turtles. She plays Karai, Shredder's daughter, on that. And she was great in that the entire run.
I finally went over to talk to Solomon Grundy because he's the third guy on there. Yeah. I was like, oh, this is Fish Mooney's, like, number one lieutenant. Yeah. And they kill him at some point on the show. And he comes back as Solomon Grundy. And he, Will? I don't know. But anyway, we didn't talk Gotham at all. I just like we started talking about baseball.
Yeah, we did.
And I was like, good. You had World Series. Oh, like because you're like you read from from Houston. Oh, like, Alabama Nationals. Oh, I get it, man. You know. And so that was nice, and he was a cool dude. He's like, yeah. Oh, good to meet you, brother. And yeah, nice guy. But I don't remember his name.
No.
So I'll look it up. I'll look on my sign poster later and see. So we did that, and then I went met Erica Duran. So I got his signature and a photo with her. I didn't do the shirt rip. I guess I should have because it was Lois. But I'd done the shirt rip with, like, John and Laura. I'm like, every single picture of me. So I'm just kind of there with, like, my Superman is kind of half showing. And she was going, and she was so nice because she, like, we did that selfie. And she kind of, like, crouched down a little bit so I'd be a little taller than her. And I was like, hey, thanks so much for that. So that was real nice. I'm like, hey, look, really looking forward to seeing a crisis. She's like, oh, it's going to be great. You're going to love it. So I was like, all right, thanks. So I did not ask Erica or Kristen for bump ins. I just didn't.
Yeah, but you know the cool thing is like we do this again, and then she's like, I think like based on what we've seen this weekend, I think they'll be up to it.
Yeah, we'll see. If we just keep coming to every single one, like listen, I have spent over $7,000. No. On all of you people. No, I don't know. Anyway, so everybody's like, oh, did you get this? Did you get that? Yeah, I got some cool stuff. I was on a streak. You know, so I was like, I'm playing with house money now. I'm going to walk when the chips are high. So anyway, Erica was great as well. And again, I told her, hey, I loved your panel, you know, and thank you for all those answers. Because she got real. They all three of them got real deep and like real personal answers with everything. And it was very refreshing and great to hear. So anyway, no, she was great. I'm really looking, obviously, as we all are, looking forward to seeing her again as Lois Lane in Crisis. See, I had already met Tom and Michael multiple times because of, you know, Awesome Con, and then gotten my picture with them then and gotten an autograph then. So I'm like, I wasn't going to do that again. And we're doing Smallville Nights, so we're spending, quote, quality time with them. So I did not get them pictures or anything. And I thought to myself, oh, I'm going to wait and meet Kristen tomorrow because I'm wearing a different outfit because I was wearing Season 9 Blur, you know, Superman shirt rip costume on Saturday. And on Sunday, I wore my Clark Kent Crisis on Infinite Earths costume. I love how someone actually, I met Kristen, and somebody like retweeted my picture, and was like, "This dude cosplaying as Clark from an episode that hasn't aired yet." So yeah, exactly. It's exactly what I did. It was great. But yeah, no, this morning I got there early. We'll wrap back around to Smallville Nights, Lance. But this morning I got up there early. Met Kristen Couric. Thought she was delightful as well. You know, I just reiterated that, hey, thanks for coming out and sharing all those stories at your panel and stuff. And she was great. And got her signature, and I got on a Season 1 picture of Lana when she has the kryptonite necklace. So I think I will always think of Lana with the kryptonite necklace. And again, if they ever make a wave to a Funko Pops, that's totally what they need. But you can just tell the way Kristen interacts with people and that kind of thing. Like she is just very humble, you know, very thoughtful and you know, all these stars are great. Like, I have not one, and, you know, I would not hesitate to say a negative word if I had one, as you guys would probably know. But no, I just loved all of them, and they were all great with all the fans, you know, kids, stuff like that. You know, actually, jumping back to the Smallville cocktail party, somebody actually brought a couple kids. And so, like, and Welling and Rosenbaum are both really good with the kids. And sometimes Rosenbaum would, like, say something, I was like, come on, there's kids. But yeah, no, meeting Kristen was great. As well, and it's bizarre to me to see all these people in the flesh, honestly, you know, because I'm like, same thing with, like, you know, when Welling Rosenbaum the first time, I was like, oh my god, I joke about that, but I really do feel that way inside. That's my way of coping with it. Like, coping, but yeah, I'm like, here's Lana Lang right here, like, and she looks great. Yeah. I think people made a joke that she really did become a vampire in Thirst because she has an age, so. Anyway, she's, you know, on the new Bird. I haven't watched Bird and the Truth. Have you?
No, but my mom does. And she watches it because Kristen's in the show. Because, like, I told her that. I told her, I was like, yeah, like, you know, like, my mom, when she was watching TV, she saw a trailer for Bird and the Truth, and she just yelled at the TV, Lana! And then Kristen thought that was just hilarious. And she's like, well, tell your mom thank you for watching. And I was like, ha, that's so cool. But, yeah, like, she's just so incredibly full of grace and she's just so nice and cordial with everybody that it's just really nice to see. Like, it was just a true joy getting to see and interact with this cast. And because sometimes you hear about like cast and sets and like then you know them not getting along and like you know some of them not you know not being you know the best people, but these six that were there, they were all great.
Yeah, and that's always a fear. That's why I'm like intimidated by sometimes by this. You're like, oh, what are you talking about? You're the small little podcast host guy. I'm like, I'm just a guy, you know. I'm like, I'm just a guy who does a podcast. You know, they don't owe me anything, so I'm gonna be like, hey, would you go to a bump in for my podcast? Because they don't know what I talk about on here. You know, you don't want to put your name on something some random guy on the internet is gonna promote. So anyway, at some point I will at least ask because I know it'd be great to have them all do the bump in. The ultimate goal will be Tom, the big fish, the Moby Dick would be Tom, but. I will see about that as the time goes on. I would love to have them actually on the podcast at some point.
Yeah.
So we're going to work our way up to that at some point. But yeah, I think grace is a great way. It's a great word to describe Kristen Kirk as well. So, and it's just like, man, they did Lana wrong. Like, they did Kristen Kirk wrong. Like, she is so great. Like, they just, I wish they would have written her better, used her character better, because Kristen is so funny and nice. I don't know. Like, as we all know, Lana took some weird turns over the course of the show. And as I understand it, she thought it was pretty weird, too.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to say one last thing.
The panel, yeah.
Yeah, at the panel, she mentioned, people asked her, again, great questions by the fans. They asked her, like, okay, how do you feel about Lana's exit from the show? Because I know a lot of people, you know, well, actually, Kristen said, well, I know it's controversial. You know, well, what did she say about it?
She liked what ended up happening because for Lana, the character had spent so much time, you know, wrapped up in doing things, you know, that the men in her life wanted and trying to be what the men in her life wanted her to be. And then, but then when she obtained the power that she obtained, and even though it costs her, you know, the love of her life, the fact that she could go out there and make a difference was something that was a calling specifically to her, and that was something that she could do and something that she could, you know, use her power for and do it her way. And she thought that that was good.
And also, she made a point. She's like, yeah, she didn't go fix herself to be able to be with a man. I was like, well, that's an interesting analysis. Now I don't like the fact that they broke up because they physically could not be together because of the kryptonite. All right, so on that level, I don't like it. But, I mean, yeah, she made some good points about it. I'm like, it really made me reassess my thoughts on that. She's like, well, I know there's controversy around it, but I liked it. I was like, good for you, Kristen. You know, I mean, and hey, I guess, well, no, she had to come back for season 8. I was going to say, she didn't have to come back for season 8. Actually, she did have to come back and finish those episodes. So I was like, she wouldn't have come back because she didn't like it. But anyway, it was interesting to hear her talk about that stuff because, you know, obviously that's season 8. You don't hear anything about, like, there's no promotional materials about then after the fact.
Yeah.
So to hear what she thought about it and the reaction to it was very interesting to me. So anyway, yeah. And, you know, working in the industry, like I have, you know, I working on talk shows and stuff and seeing celebrities come in and come and go, like, you're right. Like, you're always like, I don't know, like, I'm afraid to even meet these people because I don't know how it's going to be. So, I have nothing but positive things to say about them. And of course, look, of course they're going to come out and put a smile on their face and make eye contact with you, right? You know, at least that's the least they could do, right? But it goes beyond that. Like, I really feel like Tom especially has got a lot more comfortable with these, I think. And anyway, I'm saying there's a good way to do it, and I'm just going to show up to collect my paycheck way to do it, and I feel like all the Smallville peeps are doing it the good way.
I agree, 100%.
So, Lance, let's talk about Smallville Nights.
Okay.
We have a side story. I don't know if y'all have heard, but Popeyes has a new chicken sandwich. So, Lance, take us away with this story.
All right. So, Zach hadn't had the chicken sandwich yet. And so I was like, hey, well, we have some time between you know, when the point where we were and
our time. Our ticket said 8 o'clock.
We'll get there. So, like, we had our tickets for Smallville Night said 8 o'clock. And so this is. It was like 6 o'clock this time. We were at the convention. We were like, all right, well, and we were kind of wondering what to do. And I was like, well, hey, let's get some food before we go to this thing. He's like, all right. And I convinced him. And I was like, hey, let's go get the Popeye's chicken sandwich. And he's super skeptical. He is, number one, he's a skeptic. And number two, he's like team Chick-fil-A, like 100%. So, we find a Chick-fil-A that is like 10 minutes away.
Chick-fil-A.
Oh, sorry. God,
yay!
I know. Right. We find a Popeyes, that is, pretty close, about 10 minutes away. from the convention. And we get there, and let me tell you guys, we get there in the nick of time because, let me tell you, things got nuts as soon as we got there.
Well, okay, so we show up, and there's a long line, like longer than there should be for a chicken sandwich. Like, there's probably about, literally, there's probably 10 people in front of us.
Yes.
But it's inside, and we're kind of like, all right, we'll wait, you know, da-da-da-da, chicken sandwich, okay, great, we good. We place our order. The line keeps getting longer and longer. I guess it's because this was earlier, I guess, yes. You know, 6 o'clock-ish or 6:30-ish. And, you know, everything's fine. And then at some point, the employees start arguing.
Yeah, they start arguing.
I literally made a Facebook post. First of all, I made a Facebook post, like, checking into the Popeyes and whatever. And I had to buy, let me tell you guys, I had to buy a sandwich. Like, that's a good sandwich. Like, that is a... Like, I understand the hype now. Like, I don't think, you know, people should be, you know, shouldn't be riots in the streets over it. It's just apparently been going on. But I get, because, okay, the thing about the Popeye sandwich, the bun is better than the Chick-fil-A sandwich. The consistency of the chicken is better than the Chick-fil-A sandwich. Because, you know, like, you eat a Chick-fil-A sandwich, it's always like kind of like that, it's not nubs of, like, crust or something. I don't know what it is. And sometimes the chicken's a little, there's a few strips, and you just kind of leave a little chunk of it left in the bag. That's what I do anyway. And the pickles, you know, they're not these like millimeter thin pickles like Chick-fil-A. These are like sliced pickles, freshly sliced pickles from Popeyes. And also, there's some kind of like Popeye sauce, which is great. In fact, by the let's stop by and get another chicken sandwich before we right for dinner. Not a joke. I'm not saying that for the microphone. We're legitimately gonna do it. So. The Popeye's fries were amazing. Those what do you call those? Like spicy fries, seasoned fries, so good. So I'm like, wow. Like I'm sitting there, and I even told Lance, like, wow, everything's like calm, cool, and collected here. Like, you know, everything's going according to plan. And though I check in on Facebook, I'm like, the Popeye sandwich lives up to the hype, you know. And then I kid you not 2 minutes later, we devolve into chaos. Walk us through this chaos, Lance.
All right, so. The first thing that happens is one of the people that's been working there, from stuff that we overheard, like she's been there since like 11 a.m. or something. And she was like, she starts freaking out because like she starts noticing how the line inside keeps getting bigger and the line outside keeps getting bigger. And like the drive-thru line keeps getting bigger. And like it's like, and there seems to be like no progress, right? And so she starts getting nervous and panicking. And then she's like, and then all of a sudden, like she like leaves their little area and like goes to like the bathroom, it seems, but it looks like she's like clocking out. And then, like, she's, like, yelling at the other people, like, in Spanish. And then, like, you know, and then also, like, back to English, like, talk about how she's going to quit and how she's about to go home. And then, like, you know, and then so she's, like, not around for a little bit. And
well, what I didn't understand was this connected to the credit card machine. Like, this is independent of that.
Yeah.
So this is going on, and then the credit card machine stops working.
Yeah, and so then they can't take any more orders, and so there's people in line, and then it just kind of stops, and then there's not a lot of people back there working since it's one of these people has like sort of left, and.
Well, you see, and the thing is, you see, there's plenty of chicken.
Yeah.
You can see like the people like, can I just pay you? Like, I don't what do I need to do here? I don't understand what their decision process was. Probably because they used it as an excuse. Well, we're so busy anyway.
Yeah.
So again, Popeyes is always this way. Even without the sandwich, they've been horrible at customer service. And I hope you guys are enjoying this tangent, by the way. I think it's current events is amusing. So, Jamie, well, and this is why we kind of wrapped around back to Smallville Nights. Yeah. So, like, we're just sitting there. I'm like, we better finish our food. Someone's going to tackle me for this half of my chicken sandwich.
Yeah.
So, but as we're sitting there eating, like, they lock the door because they don't want anyone else to come in.
Uh-huh.
And then they explain to the people in line that you can't order. Like, well, these people already ordered. That's why they're going to get their food. But you can't order, so you're not going to get any food. And then they're like, well, then they try to leave, but the door's locked.
Yeah. And then that other person comes back, and then she comes back, like, that other worker that left. And then she comes back around, and they start arguing, like, again. And then people are trying to get out, and they're unlocking the door. And then other people are coming in. They're telling them that they have to get out. And then eventually they just shut down, like, the lobby in the restaurant area and kick everybody out. And we're just like, oh, my God.
Can you do this? Can you do this when you run a store? Like, all right, you're all – I mean, I guess you can. I don't know. But – under what grounds, right? And yeah, it was, and then that one of the poor employees there, she was really, it's like, I'm sorry, I'm really, because her coworker just like yelled at everybody and quit, I think,
yeah.
and gone home. And then, you know, we're going, and like, we finished up, and we're like, get out now. And then we kind of get the last chopper out of Vietnam there.
Yeah.
And then, like, a whole group of people start walking in. I'm like, oh, no, it's going to get bad because the door's unlocked for us to leave. So they come in. The drive-thru line is going out to the street.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was, we got out of there in the nick of time. So, watch out if you're going to get a Popeye's sandwich. But we didn't get out soon enough because apparently, yeah. remember how we told you the tickets for Smallville Nights at 8 o'clock. Well, au contraire, apparently it started at 7:15.
Yeah, so, like, we show up at, like, around 7:45-ish.
And there's a couple of people that are showing up, too. I'm like, oh, great, okay, hey, you going to Rosemont thing? Oh, yeah, great, see you over there, see you up the stairs, whatever. And it's weird, it's, like, dead everywhere. I'm like, what? Okay, I guess everybody got here really early, or they haven't got here yet. People are getting here late, I don't know. And then we walk up, and somebody's like, oh, you're here for the Smallville Nights? I'm like, yeah, and they come in, and they're, like, in the middle of something. What has happened here?
Yeah.
It's like 10 till 8.
Yeah, and it was just like, and there's like, oh, and we go in, and we realize that they had already started, and so like, so this is the second time then, with as far as like the scheduling go, like a concern that Wizard World like changed it without people's knowledge, and so granted, like we could have looked at like you know like the you know the little signs of their schedule like at their booths when we were getting autographs and stuff,
but we didn't see them though.
That's the thing,
because
we saw everybody else except for them because we were doing this extra stuff, and so as a result of that, we had no idea that their schedule was changed, and no emails were sent, and especially since our tickets were like, you know, we had our tickets digital, so no email was sent, like, because there was one sent about the cocktail hour because they changed locations, and the original time for that was later, which is why that guy, when he showed up late at around 9:15, he was expecting it to start like to start at 9:30, and so that's why he was there at 9:15. So it's you know, if there's one knock on the convention this weekend, it's the fact that like these schedule changes happen, and they happen like the audio stuff, but like with the schedules, like if you're going to change it to where like things are moved back, not forward, like you know like push them back, don't like start things early.
It's like an airline flight. Like if you want to push stuff back, sure, you know, because people are there ready to go at 8 and it happens at 9, okay, but if it's supposed to happen at 8 and you're like, plane's taking off at 7, hope you guys found that out.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and I'm not saying they need to like wait, I mean, I don't know what I just, well, yeah, I know what they need to do. Just communicate.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that difficult. So that was disappointing, honestly. And I've gotten more upset about it as the time has passed. Because we got like, oh, okay, well, you know, I think we probably saw about 65, 70% of the thing.
Yes.
But still, like, we paid $100. Like, isn't like, oh, the panel started earlier. No, I paid $100 for this event.
Yes.
You know, so anyway, that's our own fault, but it's kind of their fault for not telling us to. There's plenty of blame to go around, is what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. So anyway, Smallville Nights is great. It's they pull out Smallville scripts and they act out scenes and they have people come up for the audience and reenact them. But again, John Glover steals the show because they're going through scenes from the pilot, like where Lana and Clark meet the first time. That's hilarious. And Willing said at the end, he's like, "You guys will never rewatch this show the same way. Well, like these scenes, you guys won't be able to watch them the same way again because they kind of ham it up, obviously." And it's funny because Willing, because of him just being the more level-headed of the two, also being a director, he's like actually explaining things like, "Well, you know, Clark is this way. Make you know, they come to Clark and all this stuff." And I'm like, "This is actually." He's like, "Not to get too deep with you guys, but." It was interesting. And by the way, Welling is wearing a flannel shirt, which is great. He looks just like Clark Kent because he's always wearing some like cool black button-up shirt or some baseball hat or something. And he wasn't wearing that today or that night. And Rosenbaum, for his scene, he has a bald cap, like just a like an Uncle Fester Adams Family Dollar Store thing he just put on his head. They lean into the absurdity. When they do a Lana scene, he puts on this horrible-looking black wig. And it's great. So they play these scenes, and they have volunteers come up and act like him, and they give him tips and all that. But the best part, as always, the best part is, you know, we're standing there doing something. We hear "Lax!" from the back of the room, and it's John Glover, and he comes in like, "What the F is going on there?" But he didn't say F, right?
Yeah.
He's like, "You know how much extra money this is going to cost the fertilizer plant?" Like he was trying to remember what it was. It was so funny. And again, John Glover, man, turns it on and off, right? And he's like, "Oh, John, you're great, you're here." And they're like, I've been waiting for this. So he has like a scene. It's a scene from, I guess it's either, it's Duplicity or Red or Nocturne. Lionel is blind and he wants to hire an assistant, you know. And he doesn't think Lex is doing a good job of it. And so they have Glover and Rosenbaum kind of read it. And he's like, and Glover's commenting on it. He's like, I need you to look into their eyes. And he's like, this is why Lionel is blind. And it's funny. Like, you see Michael Rosenbaum and John Glover, like, doing a scene from Smallville together. That's the first time in, like, 10 years they've done that since Michael Rosenbaum left the show. And ergo, John Glover also left on a regular basis. But so great. And then they have, they're like, all right, who wants to play a scene with John Glover? And I was like, I'm not doing that. Like that. And Welling's like, all right, before you volunteer, this guy's a beast.
Yep.
Think about what you're doing, you know? And so they found some guy that kind of looked like Lex.
Yeah.
But it was funny. And it was just really enjoyable. And just to see, like, John Glover, he just slips right back into it. He's like mean, focused, you know, arrogant, loud Lionel. And then he just goes back, no, oh, hi, I'm John Glover, everybody. Like, I don't know. It was great.
Yeah, like, the coolest thing about this, it's like, this is like a master class, right? And like, yeah, it was funny and it was chaotic in some parts, but like, you could see, like, all three of them, especially with Glover, like, you could see, like, these guys are pros, right? Like, this is
Clark doesn't move.
Yeah. Like, he was like, yeah, Clark doesn't move. Like the advice that they were saying and the way they were kind of directing the people in their scenes and how to do them. Like, you could tell this is a craft that they know and know well. And when they do it, they just kind of slip right into it, and they slip right out, and they can have fun with it. They can be silly, but, like, you know, when they want to turn it on, they turn it on. And it's very impressive to see.
Well, even, like, when people are messing up, Welling's like, see, what we do is hard.
Yeah.
And it's something actually he said in the panel. He's like, yeah, I learned very quick. Because somebody asked, like, what did you learn about your co-stars that you didn't know? And, of course, the jokes were had about that. But Welling said, like, yeah, with this guy, like, he can, what I learned is that he can just slip in and he can act like this. You know, and then he can slip right back into Lex, and I couldn't do that as Clark. You know, I had to just be Clark. You know, and I really enjoyed it, and you get a little piece of memorabilia at the end. I'm not going to spoil what that is because, you know, it's like a surprise, but everybody gets a little something, and it's just a memento of the night. And yeah, no, it was great. But my only complaint here is with the lack of communication about what times everything was supposed to happen. But yeah, I mean, and I think I have no regrets about doing the cocktail party or the Smallville Nights, because I feel like the experience would be incomplete without it, you know? Especially because we didn't go to Michael and Tom's booth in line, because, I mean, there's no need to.
Yeah.
Like, maybe in a couple years if I get a really cool costume and I want my picture with Lex in it or Clark in it, right? With me in it with them. But I have a pro photo with two of them, which is great. And then I have selfies of them from back when I met them the first time, so... And finally, guys, we have our season 11 cast photo we took. We got a group photo. $370. All right? Since Lance and I are going to split it, because damn, right? But it has all six of the Smallville cast members that were here. And then, you know, the two of us. And it's, you know, it's a good picture. And we'll obviously, that's on the social media as well. And, yeah, it's it turned out great. And... there you go. I mean, that's my final report. You know, met some new fans out there, hopefully, new listeners to the podcast, some old ones, you know, met with a friend here in Austin afterward today, hanging on 6th Street some over the course of the weekend. Just had a real great time, and it's great for us because, you know, as you can tell by us in a car now, it's driving distance.
Yeah. This is just a great weekend, and highly recommended for those of you who have not done a con with a bunch of the Smallville cast. Like, you know, I would try to do it. Like, you know, especially if you've not done a con before or you're on the fence about it, our recommendation, just do it. You only live once anyway. And who knows, like, when, like, they'll, you know, start halting and, like, slowing down on the amount of cons that they go to. You never know when they'll want to stop or slow it down. So take advantage when they're around. If they're close by, try to go if you're able.
Absolutely. Could not recommend enough. So, Lance, thanks so much for being on the podcast today. If people want to find you out there, where can they find you?
You can find me at Sir Lance Laster on all my social medias.
All righty. As for me personally, you can find me on Twitter at MoronZach. That's MoreonZach. I'm also the host of another podcast, Franchise Fatigue, where we talk about movies, sequels, remakes, reboots, and all those good things when a franchise gets fatigued. You can find us on Twitter at UFP Earth. I'm also host of Standard Orbit, Trek FM's original series podcast. You can find us on Twitter at Trek FM, talking about all the old and new adventures of Captain Kirk and the Enterprise. As for the podcast here, you can find us on Twitter at AlwaysMalville. You can find us on Facebook at AlwaysLondasMalville. And you can send us an email at AlwaysMalville@gmail.com. Once again, with one S. And if you got those business cards I was passing out, all that information is on there for you. So, anyway, guys, it's been a lot of fun. This is a another Smallville special. I slipped this into the middle of our comic book coverage. So we'll be counting down to Crisis here, continuing as we go. So Crisis on Infinite Earths coming up. And, and there's been a lot of talk about Tom Welling said he was only in one scene. Right. Well, Mark Guggenheim has since confirmed that there is a scene, at least a scene, probably just one, but there's at least a scene, a perhaps a sequence, or you know, an event, right, where all three Supermen are together on screen. So that means Brandon Routh, Tyler Hoechlin, and yes, Tom Welling are going to be together on screen. We don't know what Tom's going to be wearing, but he's going to be on screen with Brandon and Tyler. And we know Tyler was at the Ginn Farm, but Brandon wasn't.
Yeah.
So think about that. All right? So anyway, a lot of buzz coming out about that. I love it when people take these buzz of like these convention one-line. Remember when Tom said he was going to be on Arrow Season 8? And everyone's like, ah! And Tom, like, it was a joke. And he was like, hey, Arrow's canceled, right? Like, no, Tom's canceled next year. But it's I'm really looking forward to Crisis. I think people should just, you know, see what happens. I am just very happy that Clark and Lois and Smallville are back as themselves. We never thought we'd see the day. So it's so funny the ebbs and flows of everyone's reaction, because everyone's like, oh my God! And like, yeah, I don't know. Maybe, I don't. He only didn't say how many episodes he was going to be in. And then like, and then the picture comes out, like, oh my God! He's on the. And I was like, well, you know, he wasn't wearing a costume. Was he only there one day? I don't know. You know, so just everybody just have a good time with this, you know? And remember, until next time, to always hold on to Smallville.